This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents I Hate My Selfie, a collection of essays by Shane Dawson. Read by the author.
This book is dedicated to my hilarious and caring mother. Thank you for giving me so much unconditional love, and fuck you for giving me your fat arms and your wonky eye. I Hate My Selfie, an introduction. Hi, I'm Shane Dawson. Some of you might know me from my videos on the internet. Some of you might know me from the movie I directed called Not Cool. And some of you might know me as the guy you saw on the cover of this audiobook who had an incredibly punchable face. I'm all of those things, and more. I also have an incredibly punchable body, but none of you will ever get to see that. For the record, I don't really hate myself, but I do hate the way I portray myself online, hence my selfie. See what I did there? Online, I'm this loud, outrageous, confident guy who acts like nothing bothers him, and he has the whole world at his fingertips. In reality, I'm a shy, quiet guy who would rather spend his nights lying in bed watching Netflix than being a valuable member of society. If I could spend my entire life underneath a heating blanket with a handful of my own balls, I would happily do so. I'm not saying that I don't like the stuff I put out into the world, because I genuinely enjoy my videos and I think they're funny. What I'm saying is, I embrace the fact that I have a punchable face, and that if I could punch myself without feeling it, I would. Sometimes I scroll through my Instagram page and audibly groan. What is the point of posting 4 pictures a day of yourself doing the same duck face in 4 different locations? If you go through my Instagram feed, it's like a flip book of me thinking I'm way more attractive than I actually am. It's nauseating. But feel free to follow me at Shane Dawson. You can also follow me on Twitter, where I post important tweets like, I think I just pooped blood. Should I go to the doctor? Nah, never mind, just gonna Google it. And? Ugh, is Emma Stone still a thing? Can that be over yet? Yeah, it gets really deep. I'm a social warrior, clearly. In this book, you'll get to see the real me, not the me that you see on YouTube. You'll get to know what's really going on in my head, but I warn you, it's not pretty. It's a twisted land of self-hatred, sadness, and lots of repressed anger toward every person who's ever hurt me. Enjoy! Don't worry, I threw in some dick and fart jokes to make the stories a little easier to handle. Just like mixing in some peanut butter with your medicine. Which, by the way, my mom used to do. You haven't lived until you've had a Vicodin peanut butter marshmallow fluff sandwich. Oh, I can still taste the numbing of my emotions. Delicious. I urge you to sit back, enjoy, and know that in the end, things got better for me. And they will for you too, if that's anything you're worried about. Feel free to laugh at my misfortune and get that feeling of, wow, my life is so much better than that guy's. Obviously joking, but semi-serious. Shane Dawson. My Destiny. Nothing gives me more anxiety than getting a haircut. Just the thought of going to a salon, I mean barber, and having a stranger touch my head while asking me personal questions about my life makes my nerves shoot through the roof. It's the same feeling a wicker chair gets when a circa 2006 Kelly Clarkson takes a seat. Tense. But sometimes you have to bite the bullet and let Kelly Clarkson sit on your face. The day after my high school graduation was one of those times. I had rocked the same shoulder-length frizzy do since I was 12 years old, and the style had run its course. There was only so much I could do with it. Actually, there were only 3 things I could do with it. Wash it, let it air dry, and pray to God I didn't get lice. My hair was lice's dream habitat. The amount of poof and waves made it practically a tropical getaway for those little fuckers. I'm sure every time I walked by a homeless dude, his lice would only wish that they were having an adventure on my twisted labyrinth of a hairdo. I might not have had the girls double-taking when I walked by, but damn it, the lice wanted a motherfucking piece. So one hot Monday afternoon in June of 2006, I pulled up into a shopping center parking lot and stared up at the Supercut sign that was casting a shadow on my car. This was the day. I had prepared myself for this moment for weeks, and I was ready. I took a deep breath, took a bite of my protein cookie, which, let's face it, was just a cookie, and stumbled through the door with fear in my eyes. The woman at the register looked up at me with a welcoming smile and asked what she could do for me. I asked for a haircut. She paused, awkward silence, and then she said, "Women or men's?" Yep, it was definitely time for a haircut. She walked me over to the station and I looked around, scoping out what the situation was. The situation was pretty clear. These people had no fucking idea what they were doing, and it smelled like El Pollo Loco had farted and then locked the door for 2 weeks. I was too lazy to find another salon, I mean, barber, so I sat in a stained purple swivel chair and awaited my fate. The receptionist walked back over.
"Destiny will be with you soon. She's in the back talking to her ex-husband on the phone."
Definitely didn't need all that information, but thank you. So I sat and flipped through a Spanish version of People magazine from 15 years ago, thinking, wow, I don't know who this Selena chick is, but she is definitely going places. As I skimmed through the magazine, my Razer phone started vibrating and playing Ashley Simpson's Pieces of Me. It was my mom calling.
"Hey, Mom.
Did you do it yet?"
"No, still waiting. I think my stylist is in the middle of a custody battle right now."
"Oh, fun! Are you excited?"
"Not really. I'm scared she's going to make me look like a troll doll."
"Aw, but you're my little troll doll."
Not really the response I was looking for, but thanks, Mom.
"Well, call me when you're done, and email me a picture on your pager."
That makes no sense.
"Love you."
As I reached for another decade-old magazine, my, quote, stylist walked up to greet me. I put stylist in quotes because her cosmetology certificate looked like it was printed on the back of a Denny's placemat. My expectations for this haircut were about the same as when I walk into an Eddie Murphy movie. I know it's going to be bad, but maybe it'll give people a few laughs. I like to spread joy even if it's at my own expense. I looked her up and down, and my expectations went from an Eddie Murphy movie to any Adam Sandler movie made after 2008. This situation was grown-ups bad. It looked like she had cut her hair without scissors, but instead by covering her head in peanut butter and raw meat and hanging upside down from a tree in a dog park. She was wearing one of those shitty Halloween shirts that said, "This is my costume." Did I mention it was June? She had hoop earrings so big that I could hang myself with them, which probably would come in handy if this haircut went as horribly as I suspected it would. She took a sip of the world's biggest Starbucks Frappuccino and let out a small, uncontainable burp. This was going great.
"So, what do you want?"
she said between burps. "For you to tell me that you're just another sassy front desk person and Destiny is still in the back screaming at her baby daddy?"
"Nope, I'm your Destiny."
That pun is particularly terrifying. "I'm going to go use the restroom. I'll be right back." At that moment, I had wished I was in a horror movie. Because "I'll be right back" usually means you aren't going to be back. You're going to die. I wished I was dead. Now I know what you're thinking. Why didn't I just leave? Because I have a syndrome called no balls disorder. That's why. Basically, I have no fucking balls and I say yes to everything to avoid conflict. I've gotten better at it with age, but at this time I was 18 and terrified of everything and everyone around me, especially wicker furniture. I went to the bathroom and locked the door. I stood in front of the mirror and looked at myself. I tried to make myself see something that wasn't there. A great hairstyle. Maybe if I could convince myself that my hair looked okay the way it was, I could just get out of there and never get a haircut again. Yeah, that seemed doable. I took out my phone and started taking hundreds of selfies. Different angles, different faces, lots of filters. I was trying my hardest to find at least one picture where I felt like I didn't look completely unattractive. It didn't happen. It made it worse. After the bathroom photo shoot, I decided to go back out there and face my destiny. "Miss, I need help. I'm scared. Can you please make me look like less of a lesbian?"
"Aw, don't be so hard on yourself. And people shouldn't judge you by your hair or by your lifestyle."
She thought I was a woman. Perfect. At this point, I just wanted to shave my fucking head. Can you just make me look like a guy?
Any specific guy? Did you look through the magazines?
I don't really think I can pull off Enrique Iglesias from 10 years ago, so maybe just make me look like Brad Pitt.
Silence. Challenge not accepted. Out of the realm of possibility.
Okay, how about Jay Leno?
Jay Leno? Nobody wants to fuck Jay Leno.
My grandmother strongly disagrees, but...
Okay, noted.
Just trust me.
I'm just gonna do my thing.
Judging from her personal style and the zero customers in her line, I couldn't imagine her thing being revolutionary, but she was my only hope. She grabbed her scissors, then looked at my head for a moment, then put the scissors back down and replaced them with the biggest set of electric clippers I had ever seen. No, no, no. This was not the job for some flimsy pieces of metal. This was a job for something that could mow a fucking lawn. I avoided looking at the mirror because I did not want to see the damage being done. Similar to how I eat in a restaurant, you know, I keep my eyes clear of any reflective surface. I looked down at my lap and I saw chunks of hair gathering near my crotch. The amount of nappy, dandruff-sprinkled hair that was falling from my head made it look like God was shaving his ancient pubes. It was of biblical proportions. I then heard something that you never want to hear a hairstylist mutter.
Oops.
Oops. Oops. You better have spilled some of your Starbucks Fettuccino on my smock, because if that oops is in any way related to my haircut, I will one-star Yelp you so hard you'll have to change your fucking name and move to Canada.
Yelp wasn't really a thing back then, but you get my point.
I think I took a little too much off the back. I might have to even it out. Are you okay with that?
Am I okay with that? Are you fucking kidding me, you barely GED-achieving tacky-dress snaggletooth cunt? No, that was not okay!
But of course I said, yeah, sure, whatever you gotta do. Once again, no balls disorder. Like any sad girl having sex with Hugh Hefner, I just closed my eyes and waited for it to be over. I heard the sound of the clippers turning off and a loud sigh come from the disaster behind me. It was time to see what my head looked like. I opened my eyes, and what I saw was not a haircut. No, no. It was a hair massacre. It was bedhead if I had slept on a bed of starving rats. It was so short I could see my eyebrows, and nobody wants to see that. I looked up at her and said,
"It's short." "Yeah, but it looks super, sexy?"
I still can't believe she said that without thirping.
"You know, there is a way to make it look a little longer."
"Nah, I've gotten that email before. Trust me, it's a scam."
"We could always straighten it."
"Straighten it? What is she talking about? What does that mean? How does one straighten? Like one of those creepy Christian camps that weirdo parents send their gay kids to?"
"What do you mean?"
She whipped out a large phallic object and turned it on extra high.
"I'll show you."
I wish audiobooks could have movie montages, because the next 20 minutes were straight out of a 90s Freddie Prinze Jr. movie. I was the ugly girl, and Destiny was my slutty older sister giving me a makeover. I was going from ugly to not as ugly if you squinted your eyes a little. It was a dream come true. After lots of clamping, straightening, and the scent of burnt hair, she was done. I looked in the mirror, and I actually didn't look that terrible.
It was a miracle.
Little did she know she created a monster. From that day forward, I never met a straightener that I didn't destroy with my nappy-ass hair. If it were possible to marry a straightener, I would. I would have even figured out a way to consummate that marriage. It would have been super gross and slightly dangerous, but I would have done it. I went to my car and breathed a huge sigh of relief. I looked at myself in the rearview mirror and stared at the new me. I might not have been the prettiest girl at prom, but I was definitely good enough to get date raped.
Bing!
My mom texted me asking for a picture of my new look. I opened up my camera and took a picture. I looked at it, and shockingly, I was happy with it. I didn't have to take 1,000. I didn't have to get 50 different angles. I didn't even need a filter. I was happy with it the way it was, for the first time in a long time. Click. Sent. My High School Musical. Lots of high schools are known for something. Football, sex scandals, shootings,
and more often than not, a yearly musical. My school wasn't known for anything besides having a principal who died while eating a hot dog. We weren't very good at anything in particular. Nothing set us apart from the rival schools, and we were usually the parents' second choice on where to send their kids. The school just 3 miles down the road was famous for a multitude of things. They had a killer football team. They had no sexual predators on staff. Mary-Kate and Ashley even filmed some episodes of their TV shows there a few years back. Analogy, if the school district would have been the parent, then that school would have been the golden child, and we would have been that child with one leg longer than the other. But that didn't stop us from trying. Every year our school would put on a disaster known as the Spring Musical. It was chock full of bad acting, nervous onstage vomiting, and some sort of love triangle between a girl and two guys. But usually the girl was thrown to the side, if you catch my drift. It was a yearly event that I stayed as far away from as I could. Until my senior year. I was one of those kids who would do whatever my friends wanted me to do, even if I knew it was wrong. The number of times I went through a Del Taco drive-thru and acted like I had Tourette's syndrome was countless. The leader of my group was a girl named Tara. She was a fun, loud, free spirit with more sexual experience than most of the teachers. And that's a fact. There was a rumor that she gave one of our teachers the clap. She was everything I wanted to be. Well, minus the clap part. She wasn't afraid to take fashion risks or hit on strangers. Life was her chemistry lab, and she was constantly experimenting. Whereas I was still stuck in remedial math, adding up the consequences of any risk I could take. One day she came up to me with an idea I knew was bad from the second it left her dick-sucking lips. We should try out for the musical. What? Why? Can't we just pretend we have Tourette's and go through the Burger King drive-thru again? We did that yesterday. Come on, it'll be fun. That's what you said about searching through my mom's closet, and finding that Polaroid of her crawling on my dad's naked legs was the opposite of fun. Don't you trust me? No, I did not trust her, for good reason. This is the same girl who thought it was a good idea to watch water birth videos on YouTube while eating Thai food. But because I go along with everything, my answer was obvious. Yes. So that day, Tara and I went to the auditions, which were being held in the chorus room. As we walked in, she started pointing out the competition. That's Lacey Barnes. Good at high notes, bad at sucking dick. How do you know that? I fucked her boyfriend a few times. Nothing serious, though. Just like lunch period stuff. Right. That's Jay Hernandez. Bad at high notes, but really good at sucking dick. You gotta watch out for him. He always gets the lead. Are you saying he sucked the teacher's dick? No, that's disgusting. Pot, kettle, black. Continue. But the teacher doesn't cast the play. The student teacher does. Student teacher? Yeah, it's this guy who graduated last year. I forgot his name, but if he's coming back to his old high school, he must not be getting any in college. Ugh, Jay's gonna be on that dick like sprinkles on Froyo. Is it gay that my stomach just grumbled? Oh my god, there she is. Patty Stevens. Patty Stevens was every musical casting director's wet dream. She had long, flowing blonde hair, big doe eyes that caught the light perfectly, and a voice bigger than her ass. And her ass was pretty fucking big. She always had a different boyfriend who would cling to her side like a personal assistant, feeding her, giving her sips of her off-campus frappuccino, and fixing her bangs when they got too scattered. There was lots of rumors about Patty floating around school. One was that she had super rich parents who invented fake belly rings. Another was that she had 4 nose jobs and an abortion in the same semester. And that last one was more of a compliment considering we were all jealous of her talent for multitasking. When Patty Stevens was auditioning for a musical, she was getting the lead. No question. The student teacher Raul walked in, and Tara was right. He looked hungry for his high school glory days, and even hungrier for cock. I was doomed to get a spot in the back of the chorus. Hello, everyone. It's so good to be back in my old home. I missed this so much. Jay, you better get your booty out of my old desk, you silly bitch. Yep, Jay was definitely going to get the lead for sure, and possibly bent over that desk. Let's get these auditions started. Who's first? The auditions went extremely slowly.
For every amazing performance, there were about 6 horrendous ones that deserved to end with stone throwing and a possible guillotine situation. Then it was my turn, and I was horrified. I didn't know we were going to have to sing a song, so I didn't have a song prepared. So I performed something I knew by heart, and something I knew that, if done right, could bring the entire audience to tears. Hi, my name is Shane, and I'm going to be singing A Moment Like This by American Idol winner Kelly Clarkson. Let's just say I'm no Kelly Clarkson. After my horrible rendition, I left the stage. Tara went on after me. She sang some show tune I'd never heard of before. It wasn't bad. I was actually impressed. I was so proud that I forgot I tanked and started beaming for her. She sat back down. I grabbed her for a hug. There was a moment I thought she could actually get the lead, until I heard what came next.
Hi, my name is Patty, and I'm going to be singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Shit. Not only did she blow it away, she actually cried while performing without missing a note. She was a true diva. She got a standing ovation from her peers, and Raoul couldn't contain himself. He squealed with pleasure like a sadistic pig getting branded by a hot iron. She was seriously born to be a leading lady. There was no questioning it. The next day, the results were posted on the door of the chorus room after school. Just like in the movies, we all ran there after the bell rang to see what our parts were. There was screaming, crying, and a lot of fake hugging. Tara and I made our way up to the door and took a deep breath.
Okay, Shane, are you ready?
As long as I'm not a tree, I'll be happy. We both looked and saw our fate. Tara was cast as a second lead, which was amazing. I was cast as the fat, funny tourist. Fat wasn't really in the name, but trust me, after reading the script, it should have been. My only line was, "Who's hungry?" And I was wearing a safari suit that was, quote, 2 sizes too small. Just like Patty, I was born for this role. The next day, we went to our first read-through. The cast was made up of a collection of a lot of different types of people, but they were all nerds. There were the gay nerds, the book nerds, the chorus nerds, the drama nerds, and of course, the lesbian nerds. Although the lesbian nerds weren't really in the cast, technically. They were just helping build the sets and rig all the stage lighting. I for sure thought I wasn't going to fit in because I wasn't really a nerd. I was more of a loser, and trust me, there's a difference. I wasn't super smart or in possession of some kind of awesome skill. I was just a normal fat dude with sweat gland issues. The door opened and in walked a large woman with a look of menace on her face. Everyone stopped and gave her their full attention. This was our director, Miss Welch. For the next 2 months, she would be the Ursula to my Little Mermaid.
Hello, I'm Miss Welch. I'm sure some of you have heard of me. If you haven't, you will. I don't take this job lightly. This musical will be perfect, because it has to be. Does anyone have a problem with that?
She was a true Disney villain. She had the face of a woman who killed puppies and ate them with the sight of children's tears for dipping. She walked like a pirate with a wooden leg. She even had a belt made out of rope. Every year she would come to direct the school play, and none of us knew what she actually did out in the real world. I'm guessing she owned, I don't know, a shooting range. I knew this was not going to be easy, so I did what I knew how to do best. I tried to quit. I went to walk out the door, but I was stopped by her large and in charge arm. There was a collection of spider veins on it that looked like a GPS map of Los Angeles during heavy traffic time. So many dark, bold lines.
Where do you think you're going?
I just remembered I can't do the musical because I have homework.
Did you audition?
Yes.
Did you get the part?
Yes.
Do you think it's fair to your other castmates to leave them and force them to find a replacement? Do you think the president can just leave the White House and let them figure it out?
I'm playing fat tourist. That's hardly the president.
Sit down.
But
if you don't sit down, I will make you sit down.
You technically can't. She flexed her big arm, and the roads of Los Angeles expanded. I ran back to my chair in sheer terror. A week later, we started doing full rehearsals. We were on the auditorium stage working out our moves and our songs, In between songs, we would sit backstage and hang out while Mrs. Welch took care of her IBS in the bathroom. Most of the conversations between the kids were way more sexual than I expected. I had no idea that nerds got laid so much. I heard at least 3 different stories about braces getting caught on pubes, and 2 different stories about having sex with a protractor. It was truly enlightening. Patty never really engaged in these conversations, though. She would just sit by herself and read over her lines. She had a way about her that made her seem better than everyone else, but nobody was mad at her for that. Everyone felt that she truly was better. It was similar to the way people treat Oprah. You just let her do her thing, and you don't bother her with your petty, normal people problems. I felt a connection with Patty, but I was too afraid to talk to her. There was something about her that was sad, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I knew that deep down underneath that perfect exterior, something was broken, and I felt sure it was something I could relate to. But instead of trying, I just left her alone. Until the big night. It was opening night, and our 2 months of hard work had finally paid off. We had rehearsed every day for 4 hours after school. Miss Welch might have been the devil in a suit made out of human skin, but she was incredibly talented at getting kids to seem semi-talented on stage. If you watched her show while wearing earplugs and squinted your eyes halfway shut, you might have thought you were watching a real show. The auditorium was filling up with paying customers, and they were ready to be entertained. Backstage, we were all freaking out with excitement while Miss Welch walked around inspecting our costumes.
Hike up those pants! Nobody wants to see your ass! Tuck in that shirt! Suck in that gut!
She made her rounds until she got to the end of the line, which was me in my small safari costume.
Shane, are you wearing an undershirt?
Yes, my mom calls it my sweat catcher.
Go back behind that set and take it off! I want to see skin popping between those stressed buttons.
Okay.
And if you see Patty, tell her to get her pretty ass out here. We're 5 minutes away from showtime.
I went behind the set, and standing in the darkness was Patty. She was hunched over, crying behind a fake door. Her shirt was only half buttoned. Patty?
Oh, hey. I was just getting ready. Sorry, I'll be done in a minute.
Are you okay?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm fine.
She sniffled and tried to play it off, but I knew something was up. Looking at her body, I knew exactly what the problem was. She wasn't fat by any means, but she was soft, and the shirt she was wearing was not flattering for her figure. Want me to ask wardrobe if they have a different shirt? She looked at me in the eyes and saw someone that truly got her. What I saw was just a person that needed help.
How bad does it look?
Not bad at all.
Ugh, I got nervous last night and I ate my brother's entire birthday cake. I feel so fat and nothing's fitting. Everyone's gonna laugh at me and everyone's gonna be taking pictures and video. Ugh, and I'm gonna look like a fat pig.
You don't look fat, especially next to me. If you want, I can stand next to you during the cast photo. I can even eat a whole cake first. I skipped my after lunch snack so I could probably take down a cake.
You aren't nervous?
No, because I practiced a lot. And so did you. Even if you went out on stage and you were the fattest person in the world, it wouldn't matter. Because when you open your mouth to sing, it'll shut the entire auditorium up. Everyone will forget about everything and only be able to focus on your voice. You're seriously the best singer I've ever heard. And I'm not just saying that.
Really?
Yeah. And hearing you say that you feel fat makes me really happy. Because it means you aren't perfect. Because damn it, it was getting really hard not to secretly hate you.
Thanks.
She finished getting ready. I took off my undershirt and got my costume back together. Now let's go out there and kick some ass. She gave me a hug, and we walked out together ready to kill it. The show was a success in some ways. Patty was amazing. Tara was great. And I totally nailed my "Who's Hungry?" line. Of course there were a few sour parts, mainly when Miss Welch got wasted on cheap wine and yelled at people in the audience for not laughing at certain jokes, or when Raoul got caught making out with one of the lesbian set builders. Didn't see that one coming. But even after that, it was still a night that I will always remember fondly. If you want to see pictures, just Google Shane Dawson Fat Wearing Safari Hat 2006.
You're welcome.
Two first kisses. When I tell people that my first relationship was when I was 21, they assume I grew up Amish. They also assume I'm an insanely repressed closeted homosexual. Considering I'm only 26, there's still plenty of time for me to explore my gay side. I can even picture myself at age 50 getting my balls stepped on by some guy wearing a leather mask screaming expletives in my face. The saddest part is that not only did I experience my first relationship at 21, it was also the age when I had my first kiss. I swear, I'm not Amish. The gay thing is questionable. One night I was hanging out at my friend's house, and she had a new roommate who was from Canada. I have an unhealthy obsession with Canada. I watch all their shows, I know all their catchphrases, and I try to incorporate a boot into my speech as often as possible. I don't know what got me so hooked on the Maple People. Maybe it was the imaginary relationship I had with Avril Lavigne when I was 13, or maybe it was that moment when Jimmy got shot on Degrassi. Ugh, that made me empathize with the entire country. Either way, I had maple syrup running through my veins, and not just because I used to drink Aunt Jemima out of the bottle. When I met this new roommate, I wanted to know everything about her. That's a lie. I wanted to know everything about her homeland and why they drink milk out of bags. We talked for hours, and she educated me on everything I wanted to know about Canada. I learned why they like ketchup chips so much and why they're so polite. She was like a real-life Wikipedia. All I had to do was type in my question and she would pop out an answer. We hung out for the next week or so, and I don't think either of us was thinking it would be anything more than a friendship based on the mutual love of her homeland. The third time we hung out, I went over to her place to pick her up, and she was crying in the parking lot with a suitcase. This was the beginning of the end of our friendship. What's wrong? I got kicked out of my apartment. What? Why? We got into a fight about something stupid, and she kicked me out. Where are you going to go? I don't know. I'll have to find a place, I guess. Well, you can stay with me until you find one. And that, my friends, was the dumbest idea I ever had. Hey, girl I just started hanging out with, wanna move in? I didn't realize how insane it sounded because to me, I just saw a friend in need. But at the age of 21, having a girl move into your small apartment isn't something sane people do. She reluctantly said yes because she didn't really have any other option. That night we were lying in bed watching TV. I repeat, lying in bed watching TV. Another not-so-bright idea when you're a 21-year-old and you're friends with a girl. Anyways, we were lying in bed watching TV, and we started to cuddle. Now, this was the first time I had ever cuddled with a girl, if you don't count my mom. My mom and I used to cuddle on the couch and watch shows about women getting brutally murdered, but that's another story. As we cuddled, we both looked at each other with that, "Are we doing this?" look. I'm not sure either of us was actually super interested in dating each other, but we were both lonely and sad, so it just kind of happened. We decided not to kiss or, you know, do anything, mainly because we were nervous, but also because we were halfway through an episode of Hoarders, and we really didn't want to miss the part where the guy found all the woman's dead cats. The next morning, we woke up and went to breakfast. It was the first time I'd ever eaten breakfast with a girl, so I didn't really know how to act. I assumed everybody in the restaurant thought we had had sex the night before and were there to, I don't know, replenish, but that wasn't the case. I didn't want people to think that, especially since at the time I was pretty religious, and the thought of having sex before marriage made my guilty Christian penis crawl back up inside my guilty Christian body. We didn't really talk much during breakfast. I think we both realized that after all the Canada talk, we didn't really have that much in common. So, what do you like to do? I like to travel around the world. You? I like to lie in bed and watch Netflix while squirting low-fat Ready Whip into my mouth. Yeah, it wasn't a match made in heaven. But the next day was a big one. I was shooting my first short film for my YouTube channel. It was set at Christmas, and it was about a guy, my character, getting his first kiss. I swear, I hadn't written it for personal reasons. The girl I cast was Lisa Schwartz. I had met Lisa about a year before that, working on a video together for another YouTube channel. She was sweet, pretty, and a little older than me. I say a little older because even though it was only by a couple of years, Given my lack of sexual experience, I might as well have been 12. Although I think 12-year-olds get more handjobs than I did. Lisa got to the house where we were filming, and I started talking to her about the scene. I played it super cool.
So, are you nervous to make out?
Nervous laugh. Not really.
Me neither.
Nervous laugh that ends with a small amount of pee. It was off to a great start. So as we made our way to the front yard where we were going to kiss, I started to panic. Not only was this going to be my first kiss, but it was going to be my first kiss on camera. What if I bit her, or puked, or swallowed her tongue? Hey, it could happen. The director yelled action, and the time had come. She looked up at me, and I looked down at her, and she went in for the kiss. All I remember is thinking how much her lips felt like bologna with mayonnaise smeared on it. And that was a good thing.
Cut.
Hey, that wasn't so bad.
Thanks.
How did it feel?
What?
Like, did it feel good?
You wear a lot of chapstick.
Score! This was going great. We did a few more takes, and then it was over. Afterward, I went back home, and my Canadian roommate was sitting on the bed waiting for me, with a remote in one hand and a can of low-fat Ready Whip in the other. She was ready to please me. As I sat on the bed, I looked at her, and I initiated the most uncomfortable conversation imaginable.
We should kiss.
Okay.
Cool. Let's do it.
Great. We looked at each other in silence for about 30 seconds.
So, when are you gonna do it?
I have to do it?
You're the guy.
But today Lisa did it.
Wait, how many girls have you kissed?
Are we counting relatives?
Did you have your first kiss today?
Maybe.
Wow. Aw, that's so sweet.
And a little sad,
but mostly sweet.
Wanna be my second?
Aw, sure. Thank God I'm not your first. That's way too much pressure.
What do you mean?
You never forget your first kiss. You always think about what your life would have been like if you stayed with them. It's a lot of pressure. It's like your first crush. You never get over it.
It was at that moment I started overthinking everything I had experienced that day. Was Lisa the one? Should I have whisked her off her feet and made her my wife? Should I run to her house and kiss her in the rain? Then I remembered she was an actress who had no interest in dating a 21-year-old virgin, and I was sitting on a bed with a willing Canadian with a season's worth of Hoarders in her hand. So I went in for the kiss. And I stopped right before I hit her lips.
What?
I don't know what to do.
Kiss me.
I know that. I mean, like, how?
Put your lips against mine? Not that hard.
I reached into my pocket and I applied a lot of chapstick.
Ooh, rub that off.
Huh?
No girl wants a guy to have glassier lips than her. It's creepy.
Thanks a lot, 17 magazine. I made my way back to her lips, and I stopped again.
Wait, can I start somewhere else?
Oh, we are definitely not there yet, dude.
No, not that. I want to start far away and then make my way to your lips.
So I started kissing her hand, and then slowly made my way up her arm. I got to her shoulder, and then I went to her neck. As I made my way up to her face, she was trembling. This was the most romantic thing I could have ever dreamt of, except I had no idea it was romantic. I was just trying to calm my nerves and delay the inevitable. I finally got to her lips, and we had a pretty long kiss. As I pulled away, she looked at me like I was some player who knew exactly what I was doing. In reality, I knew about as much as that can of low-fat Ready Whip in her hand. I was just lucky, I guess. We ended up dating for the next year. It wasn't the best relationship, but it was what we both needed at the time. We were both lonely and wanted someone to talk to. It was more of a friendship with some kissing thrown in. Kind of like that relationship I'd had with my grandma, but, you know, more culturally acceptable. Our breakup broke the record for the most mutual parting of ways in history. Here's the text conversation that happened.
Hey, should we break up?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Did you watch Hoarders last night?
Yeah, I can't believe that woman ate her dead dog thinking it was jerky.
I know, right? Crazy. Well, goodbye, I guess. Do we have to unfollow each other on Twitter? I'd rather still follow you. You have funny tweets. Oh, no way. I never unfollow anyone. That's so tacky.
Agreed.
And that was it. I still follow her on Twitter till this day, and every once in a while we'll still fave each other's tweets. I usually only fave them if it's something about Canada. The day after we broke up, I got an email from Lisa asking if I wanted to hang out. It was super random and felt like some scene in some terrible romantic comedy starring, I don't know, Katherine Heigl and John Hamm. Except Lisa's not a notorious cunt, and I have a slightly below average size penis. We ended up going to dinner and having a really great talk about relationships and life in general. She had just gotten out of a really long one, and I had just gotten out of a really immature one. We talked for hours, but this time I wasn't just interested in her homeland. I was interested in her. I wanted to know all about her childhood, her family, her way of thinking about the world. It was like there was this gift in front of me, and all I wanted to do was unwrap it and see what was inside. If it was as beautiful as the outside, there was no way I was going to regift it. We stayed up till 4 a.m. It was one of the most magical nights I had ever had. It was even more magical than the night I watched Titanic 3 times in a row while cuddling with my mom. Well, I probably should go. You gotta get to bed. Yeah. Thanks for tonight. I needed this. Yeah, me too. Well, night. I started to walk out the door, and then I stopped myself. I wasn't going to be the pussy I'd been a year ago. I was a man, and I knew what I wanted. I turned around, took her in my arms, and kissed her passionately. Sparks flew and hearts exploded. As we pulled away, she looked at me and smiled. You aren't wearing as much chapstick. I only put 1 coat on today. Thanks. And to this day, we're still kissing each other with the same amount of passion. It's been more than 3 years, and I still feel like there's more to unwrap. Every day I get a glimpse of what's inside. I hope it never ends.
The original catfish.
Bing!
New AOL Instant Messenger message. I ran over to my old Dell laptop and pried it open. This was 2002 and Dell was the shit, so no judgment. I opened up my AIM and there it was. A picture of a flaccid ninth grade boy's penis with the text, "So baby, you like," under it. I slammed my Dell shut and locked my bedroom door. What had I done? Flashback to 1 week earlier. I had just started high school, and I very quickly realized that I was not the cool kid. I wasn't even the nerd. I was the invisible kid. I can't tell you the amount of times a group of students would literally crash right through me in the hallway, like they were an 18-wheeler truck and I was a bag of old McDonald's someone had thrown out the window. You would think that being morbidly obese would make me easier to see, but it somehow acted like a cloak of invisibility. My blubber must have had some kind of magical power. If there had been a sad version of X-Men, I would have definitely been Magneto, and all the special ed kids with superior upper body strength would have been my students. Me, being undetectable to the human eye, made it particularly difficult when our teacher would have us pick groups for class assignments. Usually I wasn't even picked last. I was literally forgotten. I had a teacher ask me once if I was there to check on the air conditioner. So during the first week of school, we had a project in social studies class. Our teacher wanted us to pick groups and form our own societies. After my teacher asked if I was the janitor, and I told her I was 14, she had me join a group of surfers who had the collective IQ of 10 and a collective STD score of everything. I tried to make conversation with one of the surfer kids. So, you watch American Idol? Aren't you the cafeteria lady? It was going great. I sank into my chair and prayed that there would be a natural disaster that would kill everyone in the school except for me. That didn't happen, so I just stared at the clock until it was time to leave. That night I went home and decided to do a little research on my groupmates to see how I could get along with them. Maybe we had similar interests. Maybe they were closeted homosexuals with a fat fetish. It was worth looking into. I logged onto my MySpace and I started my hunt. My only friends at the time were Tom and Polly Shore, so
I'm pretty sure we didn't have any mutual friends. I went to each of their pages and stalked the absolute shit out of them. During my investigation, I began to realize something about these surfer kids that I had secretly suspected all along. They were horrible. Every picture they posted was of them shirtless, and every comment was, "You're so fucking hot, fuck me!" Clearly, we had nothing in common. The only person who ever wanted to fuck me was the homeless lady who used to stand outside of Ralph's and tell me that I had a sad face she wanted to sit on. I kept looking at their profile pages and started not only questioning how people could be so vapid, but also questioning whether God exists. It was a really dark few hours. The next day I went back to class and sat in my group once again, waiting for some kind of fatal natural disaster. I tried to strike up another conversation, and this time it lasted longer than 10 seconds. Unfortunately, it wasn't a friendly chat about the weather. It was a tear-inducing indictment against childhood obesity. You know, typical 14-year-old banter. Me. So, what did you guys do last night? Surfer kid number one.
Got high with my uncle and tried to get his dog drunk.
Me. Fun. What about you?
Surfer kid number two.
Fuck some chick I met on AIM.
Me. You guys have sex? They all looked at me with dumb in their eyes and emptiness in their head. Me. Oh, cool. Sometimes I think about sex, and then I get really scared and I pray about it.
Surfer kid number three.
I went to the gym, almost fucked a girl there, but she was a dyke or something.
Me. You go to the gym? Are you allowed at the gym? Isn't that place only for grown-ups and handicapped people?
Surfer kid number three.
Anybody can go to the gym.
Surfer kid number one.
Maybe you should.
The other two surfer kids let out a collective, ooh.
Me. I'm fat, okay? I get it.
Surfer kid number one.
You're like obese, though. I saw an episode of Dr. Phil where he talked about how all the kids now are getting obese and they're all gonna die before graduation or some shit.
Surfer kid number two.
Damn, dog, those statistics are scary.
Me. Let's go back to not talking. That was less traumatizing.
Surfer kid number one.
Then my mom said that fat people get fat because they're lazy and hate themselves. Also, they secretly want to die, so they're like killing themselves slowly with food.
Surfer kid number three.
Shit, bro, that's crazy. Fat people are sad. Is it bad that sometimes I don't even consider fat people to be, like, people? Like, I think of them as, like, animals or robots or something. Know what I mean?
Me. I'm right here.
Surfer kid number one.
Do you want to die?
At this moment, yes, more than anything in the world.
I don't want to sound like an asshole, bro, but you should stop being so fat. It's sad, and you're going to make our school look bad. Because Dr. Phil said that the fattest school in America is in California, and they're making them do, like, all kinds of extra credit homework to make up for it.
That literally makes no sense.
Neither does your lifestyle.
The surfer group stared at me with hate in their eyes. I broke down and started crying like a little bitch. But can you blame me? They basically just told me to kill myself and that I was a robot or something. I told the teacher I had an emergency and that I had to go to the bathroom. She didn't question me. That's the one plus side of being a fat kid in school. Nobody questions the necessity of a trip to the bathroom emergency. They just assume your ass is in a constant state of explosion. I ran to the bathroom and I locked myself in the stall. I cried for a good 10 minutes, and then I took a shit. There's nothing more depressing than crying while smelling your own shit. It's almost as depressing as eating sandwich rolls at a funeral reception. Whoever thought a funeral reception was a good idea needs to be shot. I sat on that toilet for a good 30 minutes, trying to wrap my brain around what had just happened. How could those guys be such assholes? How could I let myself show so much weakness and not stand up to them? Why is Dr. Phil talking about other people being fat? So many questions. Next, I did what any teenager does when faced with adversity. I planned my revenge. That night, I logged back into MySpace. How could I use their interests against them? What do they like to do? Well, from our chat that day, I found out that they love drugs, animal abuse, and hooking up with girls on AIM.
Then it hit me like an 18-wheeler through a school hallway. I could pretend to be a girl on AIM and ruin their lives. I didn't have an AOL Instant Messenger account because the only people I talked to on a daily basis were my mom and my cat, so this technology was useless to me. So to get the plan rolling, I had to sign up for an AIM account under a fake name and a fake picture. I decided to go with Carol. I know, Carol kind of sounds like the name of an old drunk, but I always thought there was something sexy about it. Maybe because that homeless lady outside of Ralph's name was Carol. I wonder what she's up to. She's probably dead. Anyways, my next step was to find a picture, so I went to Google Images and typed in, "High school girl whore slut." Surprisingly, this led to pages and pages of options. I decided to go with a simple girl with extremely large nipples, classy and tasteful. I created her profile and started filling in all the blanks. Favorite movie, fucking. Favorite book, how to do fucking. Favorite song, sing while you fuck me. Favorite animal, I fucked a dog once. Favorite quote, I fucked a dog once, by Carol. I was ready, the perfect girl, for these idiots. So I decided to start with Surfer Kid number one, you know, since he was the guy who started the whole obesity debate. I went to his profile and saw that his screen name was typed up in his bio, which read like an obituary for his brain. About Surfer Kid number one.
Hey, what's up? I like hookah, hardcore rap, and getting head. I also like reading blogs about 9/11 conspiracies. Something ain't right, y'all. Buildings don't just fall like that. Hit me up on AIM. Screen name, I like nipple rings.
So, I sent my first AIM message to I like nipple rings. My screen name was Carol is wet. My first message was simple. Hey. 2 minutes later, shit started going down.
Sup? Who dis?
Carol, I'm wet.
What?
I said, I'm wet.
Like, sweating?
For a guy who seemed to be all about vagina, he sure had no fucking idea how one worked. You like boobs?
Yeah.
Wanna see my boobs?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Let me just make sure my mom's not home. Yikes, if Carol were real, that would have dried her right up. Okay, she's not here. My little sister is, but she's in the other room watching TV.
Ooh, sounds hot.
Yeah, I guess.
So, you want to see my boobs?
Yeah.
You ever had sex before?
Yeah, like every day pretty much. One time I did it in a Wendy's bathroom.
Hot. Did you eat a Frosty afterwards?
I wanted to, but I couldn't afford that and my bus ride.
Ooh, I love a man who's responsible with money.
Yeah, I keep it all in a jar with my name on it. It's pretty pimp.
How about you show me something first?
Huh?
Okay, I know what you're thinking.
This is disturbing. Trust me. I know. But I was a fat kid scorned, and I was ready to go there with no regrets.
My plan was to get the most unflattering picture of this kid's dick and print out hundreds of them and post them all around school the next day. It was a genius plan. Except for the fact that I would probably get expelled for doing that and possibly go to prison for child porn. But I didn't really think that far ahead. I want to see your thing.
My thing?
Your penis.
Why?
'Cause I like penises. They're cool. And they make Carol wet.
Can't you just, like, Google a picture of one?
But I want to see yours. I bet it's super tan. Okay, I'm not great at sexy talk, but hey, neither was he, so we were pretty evenly matched.
So, like, if I take a picture of it and send it to you, you'll show me your boobs?
And my vagina.
Oh!
Yep, all 8 inches of it. I had never seen a vagina, so I assumed length was a part of it. I was incorrect.
Okay, make me hard first.
No, I like soft penises.
Really? That's kind of gross.
You want to see me naked or not?
G2G BRB.
For those of you who aren't kids of the 2000s, that means gotta go and that he'd be right back. I took that to mean he was freaked the fuck out and probably threw his computer out the window. I felt defeated. I guess my plan wasn't perfect. Maybe I was too forceful. Maybe I wasn't as seductive as I could have been. I was just about to head to the kitchen, and then it happened. Bing! I ran to my computer and cracked it open. What I saw was a new message from I Like Nipple Rings, and oh dear God, was it horrifying.
So, baby, you like?
Baby didn't like. Baby loved. It was a picture of his horribly small, shriveled up penis placed on top of his lopsided, weirdly shaped balls. If this picture was seen by anyone, they would think it was of a toddler with some kind of birth defect. I slammed my computer shut and locked my door. I knew this is what I wanted, but I had this sinking feeling that I had gone too far. I mean, I knew this kid was an asshole, but did he deserve to have his life ruined? I took the rest of the night to think about my decision. I had his adolescence literally in the palm of my hand, and I could crush it if I wanted to. I decided to just print out one of the pictures and put it in my backpack. That way, if he said something to me, I could just whip it out and show it to everyone and get my sweet, shriveled revenge. The next day, I walked into school with my head held high. I was ready for that group of kids to knock me down in the hallway because I had something they didn't. A picture of a penis in my backpack. I went into class and sat with my surfer group. Me. So, what did you guys do last night? Surfer kid number two. Got into a fight with my mom about whether or not Hamburger Helper is still Hamburger Helper if she doesn't put hamburger in it. Me. Intriguing. Surfer kid number three. I looked at my dad's porn. I found some really weird shit in his room. There was like a picture of a lady peeing into a crock pot. Me. Nice. How about you?
Surfer kid number one.
Huh?
Me.
What did you do last night?
Surfer kid number one.
Nothing.
He looked like a train had hit him. His face was limp and pale. He looked like a guy who had just had his heart broken. Oh, shit.
Surfer kid number two.
You okay, bro?
Surfer kid number one.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I'm fine.
He wasn't fine. He was miserable. Like a puppy that had just gotten its balls cut off. I didn't want to feel bad for him, but unfortunately underneath all my big fat layers was an even bigger fat heart.
Surfer kid number three.
You fucked that chick from water polo yet? I heard she shaves now.
Surfer kid number one.
Nah, I'm over chicks for a while.
He put his head down on his backpack and sank deeper into his depression. I felt horrible. This guy was hurting and it was my fault. I can't imagine how it must have felt to send a stranger a picture of you at your most vulnerable and then have the other person not even respond, telling you how not disgusting it was. I told my teacher I had a bathroom emergency, and I poofed out my stomach to make it look extra urgent. I ran to the bathroom and locked myself in the stall. I pulled the picture of his micro dick out of my pocket and gave it one last look. It really was disgusting. I crumpled it up and threw it in the toilet. Before I flushed, I made a pact with myself that I would never stoop as low as anyone who was bullying me. The feeling I got from knowing I had hurt this asshole's heart was even worse than the feeling I got when him and his friends called me a fat robot animal. It just wasn't worth it. I flushed the toilet and went back to class feeling a little bit better about myself. That night I opened up my sick Dell and I deleted Carol from the internet. I didn't need her anymore. I also deleted AIM because, let's be honest, I didn't need that anymore either. Now that I think about it, I was the original catfish, before catfishing was even a thing. I did it before it was a term on Urban Dictionary or a heavily scripted reality show on MTV. And from that day forward, I would never again pretend to be anybody who I'm not. Instead, I just photoshopped the absolute shit out of my own pictures to make me look like a completely different person. But hey, don't we all do that? Between Hollywood and an abortion clinic. Every kid hopes that one day they'll be walking around a mall and have a stranger in a business suit walk up to them and say,
Hey, you. You should be in the movies. I'm a big Hollywood agent. Give me a call after you finish that disgusting cheese-filled pepperoni pretzel dog.
But stuff like that only happens on TV, right?
Wrong. This is a story about how I was